This is Love Seal Church, bearing the tidings of the blessed hope and the glorious liberty of the sons of God. We earnestly pray that you experience a breaking forth in the quantum leap into all the promises of God for you. Gird up the loins of your mind and heart as you obtain mercy to find grace by the word of God coming through God's own servant at this time to you. Be ready for great impartation of the Spirit and life. Happy listening.
Lord, we thank you for these words that you have spoken to us. We thank you because beyond these words, you will cause it to find way in our hearts. You cause the word to journey in our hearts, from our hearts to our hands, to our actions, and we will embody this life. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we bless your handmaiden. You will increase her the more in the name of Jesus. Amen. You know, meetings like this is a meetings of resolve. You know, so some of the things that might be applicable to those who are married, but there's a resolve you can come into in your own heart as regards how you do marriage well. I just had an impression in my spirit, but one of the things that was very glaring. He said, he who findeth a wife, findeth a good thing. That's Proverbs 18:22. If you read it in Amplified, it says, he who finds a faithful and true, you know, a true and faithful wife, finds a good thing. And you are in that thought came as a thought of, it means that before you are found, there are wifely things you must have. So the definition of a wife suddenly looks different. A wife is not just somebody who a husband marries. It means that a wife is an estate that you must occupy. It's an estate as a single lady you must find occupation in so that you can be found. Ask yourself, am I a wife? You understand? He said he will find a good wife. That means being a wife is not when you are married. It looks like it's an estate that actually should have begun to happen. You know, up until the point where you are found as a wife. When the Bible also talks about who can find a virtuous woman. You know, everybody got virtue. You know, it shows that being a wife, being a virtuous woman is scarce. I'm just trying to say we have scarcity of virtuous women. We have scarcity of wives. We have a lot of little girls with no breasts that are married. Songs of Solomon 8:18. He said, who can find it? You know, when you say virtue, virtue means substance. Virtue means strength. The Hebrew word for virtue is chaya. It means strength. It means substance. A virtuous woman is not just a doer. It has to do with the content of what makes her up. So it means that we have a lot of little sisters. You know, little sisters running up and down and they want to marry. He said, we have a little sister and she has no breasts. You know this thing. What shall we do for our little sister on the day when she's spoken of? So it means that breast is not just biological mammarial gland. If you look at what a breast is for, what is a breast for? A breast is for production of milk, for nurture. Nurture. What else? Is a sexual organ for what? Pleasure. Are you seeing? Then it is also for body shape. Say body shape. You know the reason why many of us wear padded bra? Or some people want to do breast enlargement and all. It's because of body shape. So you can see that when they say if somebody has little breasts, that means that she has nothing to nurture. She has no milk. When he says that this little breast, that means she cannot give pleasure. Another person cannot take of her. I'm just trying to say the picture of a woman. When you see, when they say she has a, and then, you know, it means that there's no shape. There's a way she needs to look. How you will know the way she needs to look? You say, what shall we do on the day she's spoken for? That is that when you have little breasts as little sister, honestly, you should not be spoken for. If you see have childishness of outbursts of anger, you're a little sister. And you can say that, you see, this thing is a very bad estate. Little sister, no breasts. She's little. Okay, she's rara. And she also does not have. That means the compartment of what makes her is not there. So ideally, a waiting period is a period where she's supposed to grow from being little sister and to developing breasts. My sisters, I remember, how many of us look forward to wearing bras? In fact, I remember secondary school, they will touch your shirt like this to know whether you started wearing something. Puberty. You know, breast is a show of puberty. It's a show that you are ready for the next phase of reproduction. So, you know, one thing that Satan has done is to remove the place of preparation and raising. You know what Mommy Meg was talking about? You know, kindness and those things are things that will make a person develop breasts. You know, Satan has made it look like marriage is just what you stroll into. You know, but if you read scripture very well, we see clear documentation of the people, even to prepare a bride in court. Queen Esther. Queen Esther was prepared with different kind of oils. You know, so there's a preparation. Say preparation.
Preparation.
It's not an estate we come into. He said, on that day when she's spoken for in marriage, he said, if she's a wall, say wall. That means she's discreet and womanly. A little sister with no breast cannot be a wall. When anger can get you, you are nothing. A wall is a woman who is built. You know when you say wall, you know what comes to your mind? Is that Psalm 144? He said that our daughters will be what? A cornerstone. A wife is built up. She's not a wall. She's not a woman who has no discretion. She's not a woman who is light. Both in whatever estate. They say she's a wall. And now say we can collect dowry and marry her off. You can build her on a turret of silver. That is, we can say, okay, she's a building that another house. When they say, you now understand what scripture says, a woman, a wise man, builds her home. They say she's a door. That is, anything goes. All manners of talk you take. Mood swing. You know, mood swing is swinging. You are not a wall. You are a door. And when you are a door, anything can enter inside you. All manners. One thought will come, you will take it. One brother will come, you will run with him. One this one will come. All manners. If she's a door, that is, she's bold, she's flirtatious. A flirtatious woman is not just somebody who is doing shadu. It's nobody that can flirt with anything. You can flirt with any thought. You can flirt. They come and tell you about somebody. You can peddle rumor. You can peddle. You are a door. If they tell you something about your sister, you believe it. You are a door. Things can just go. You say, you know, we enclose her. You say, people that adore, what do? We enclose her, we set that. You know, set that. It's a set that of Lebanon. Ever will cover her because she's a dangerous place. She's dangerous to herself. She's also dangerous to all around her. We must not be little sisters. Now, read about a woman. Read the next verse. He said, I was a wall. This is another one. This is the Shulamite. He said, but I was a wall. And my breast was like what? Towers. You don't understand. I am complete. You know, the real definition of a woman, this one. He said, there's no way you are built up that you not attract the eyes of a king's eyes. He said, I became in the king's eyes as one to be respected and allowed to find peace. You see what Mommy Mega said? When you are built up, kings will look for you because your breast is like power. He said, a wife is not looking for somebody to complete her. A wife service is a complete, somebody to help. She's raised a help. She knows she's help. She's not, you know, some of you feel that your life will only get definition until you marry. No, that woman that is built up a wall with her breast, she's a definition. Even in her single estate, she can nurture. She can be an object of pleasure. There's a completeness that is found in her, God's people. You know, one of our sisters was saying that one thing the Lord healed her from was a place of being content. Sisters that they are content in their estate. They have found that they are able to follow down whatever estate. They know that God is able to actually address and move them to the next estate if he so pleases. So God wants us to raise us to be walls with towers. He said, there's no way. He said, then I became in the king's eye as one. We don't want to have sisters that, you know, I don't want to say chingom sisters. We're everything. We need solid sisters. If we say we want to take this mountain, ask me how far. Don't ask me, you cannot take it. If you say we are taking mountain, ask me, is it Kilimanjaro or which one, or Zion or which one? That's the mountain you should ask. Not that you start looking at your strength. God wants to raise us. And I saw a woman. The Lord brought me a conversation of a woman in scripture. Quickly, I want to talk about Mary. Say Mary. Mary was a wife before marriage. Mary was a wall with her breasts. If her breasts reached tower, that is attracted devil to say, I walk by see Jesus. She attracted the king's eyes. She didn't only attack kings in the earth. She attracted the king's eyes. Oh, Mary. Oh, Mary. Let's read Luke chapter 1. When you ask why Mary, say why Mary. You know, have you thought about why Mary? The why Mary, the answer to why Mary, why is in Luke, a prayer. I want us to read Mary's prayer. Luke 1, 46. Can we read it together, church? My soul doth magnify the Lord. My spirit had rejoiced in God, my Savior. For he had regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. Pause. He had what? So, what is low? She had a low estate. Oh, you can't be vulnerable if you are not low. If you are high, oh, le bono, they cannot command you. You say, for he had regarded, therefore, behold, from what? Henceforth, all generations are coming what? For he that is mighty had done to me great things, and holy is his what? Name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He that showed strength with his arm, he had scattered the proud in the ambitions of their hearts. He had pulled down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He had filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he had sent empty away. Okay? He had helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy. He has spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. Did you see that? This woman occupied an estate. You know, I just even saw this, that she was saying that he has done good to her, having a child outside wedlock. See judgment. Now, the thought to really think about this woman was the fact that, what kind of a woman is Mary? Who is Mary? Who is this woman? It was obvious that that estate made her available and qualified. Say available and qualified. Go back to that Luke 1, the visitation. She understands. I mean, look at it. You are a young lady. You are low. You can understand that a prayer could give you an insight to the kind of a single woman she was. When you read Mary, you will know that this woman had substance inside of her. See what she was discerning. And then they looked at her. She occupied an estate so much. And everyone saw that this one is built up. And it could attract everyone. Excuse me. Nobody, it was not mentioned in any of the prophecy concerning the Messiah that it was a Mary that would born Jesus. It could have been Sarah. But nowhere was it mentioned. So that means in a season like this, in a season where God is looking at estate of singlehood, they found someone. Everyone looked at an estate and found someone that could do. And I'm asking you, when they look at us now as a company of women, are they finding us? Ours might not be Jesus. But can they even find the concept of their desire or salvation? Can me and you, can we be found worthy to nurture salvation? And they came to her. You see, when they told her, blessed are you, and Gabriel was talking, the Bible says she was troubled as regards that discussion. Saying, you see, casting her mind, well, what kind of salutation is this? You know, some of us, if they told us we are blessed, you are thinking they are making you millionaire or first lady. They said, what kind of salutation is this? You know, sometimes many of us, there are some things we cannot even sit down to ponder on it. I said, when she said it, and you know what was also amazing? When they told her this information, I for say that, excuse me, Mr. Angel Gabriel, hey, Josa, do you realize that I am not a married woman? That conversation did not come up. Many of us, they can't even hand things to us without complaining. What kind of trust did everyone have in Mary? And Mary herself has a kind of trust in God. What kind of audacity is that? In a days where they can stone her to death for adultery. She had no fear of man. She had no fear of her estate. She had no fear of her singlehood. So, you know when Pastor Meg was saying, the place of loving the Lord. You could say that this woman had a relationship with the Lord beyond Joseph. That she was a spouse. It's obvious that Joseph would have been an answer to prayer. But beyond Joseph, she could see that the Lord's priority was much more. Oh God, they could rent a womb. Oh my God, she had a womb that they could rent. And I challenge you, do you have a womb to be rented to heaven? She had a womb that heaven could say, my seed is saved with her. They've seen that this one, she has been raised in a way that they cannot show. That is what our womb is for. They gave us womb to keep the things and the seed of God. Not malice. Beyond Joseph. And you know, even Joseph's choice. You know, Joseph was a poor man. Joseph, the carpenter. He was a carpenter. How I know he's a poor man was their offering. Their offering was 230 dove. That offering should have been a lamp. You know, but in the law, they give provision to those who cannot. At least 30 dove was very one of the cheapest something you can buy. So even her choices, she did not say she was low. I said, I knew that Mary, it's obvious that she had gone through dealings. She has gone through lack. She has gone through want. And you know, she could have said, I will marry a rich man. What are your choices? When she was going to choose who she will marry. It might have been that her choice or who she married. We don't know whether there was an opportunity again to marry another. You understand? But we know that her choices might be one of those things that endured her to God. But I'm saying that heaven could find her what? Available. She trusted God in a time where it was not fashionable to. At the risk of her life. It was a risk. Oh, excuse me, let me tell you. It was a risk. Mary could have been stoned to death. Ibolotiloyun. Excuse me? What kind of trust is that? But the question is, you see, it's obvious that she had conquered her fear. My single sisters and my mothers. Pastor Mike was saying, what are your fears? This mother has conquered what? Her fear. Fear of being rejected. If with that pregnancy, obviously the relationship was gone. Fear of shame. In some of us, we can't go through things because of shame. Sometimes some of us, you know, you meet your old colleagues or your old schoolmates, they are married, you are not married. And then they are now talking, you know, because you are not into a relationship, you now begin to explain. Who sent you? Since when has been a singlehood is shame? Singlehood is not something to be ashamed of. It's an estate. Our Lord Jesus was single till he went to be, he grew, Jesus was single. So you have some uncle. You know, that look at your mate, Jesus was your mate. Paul was your mate. They lived in the days of their flesh, single. But you saw that this woman had conquered her fear. Say fear. She had no fear. One of the things that our estate does, you see, if you don't conquer fear, when you marry, you have fear. They're saying that there are seasons in marriage. You have fear. If your own fear is, I don't want, that will not have money. Ah, hey. Do you know something about, they say competent father. Say competent father. He will bring that thing and they will try that fear again. There's some seasons we bring that happens to us in marriage is because we didn't deal with it as singlehood. So they just help us and they say, okay, marriage, it will help us again to address the same issue. So she had, and then there was something that was obvious about her. Say relationships. She had an awesome relationship with the elderly. Immediately. Say immediately. Immediately they told her. She did what? She went to Elizabeth. Some of us, you cannot even talk to an elder. I don't want them to see into my matter. I don't want them to see into whose matter will they see into? Because you think that all these elderly people have a prognosing business. You feel that moving close to an elderly person, you know, is a problem. I don't want wala. You see, when you fellowship with the elderly, one thing you will gain is judgment. If you fellowship an elder, you see something that you, if you carry a low plane or ladder, you will never see. But they are lying on the floor. They will see it. I want to talk about relationships. You know, the fact that you should not only be able to form vertical relationship, you must be able to call, your relationship must transverse, up, down. You must be able to. Your counselors or the people that you seek advice for must not only be your mates. You must not only be people that will endorse your folly. And she carried it the matter to say, Abeg, let me look at it. Immediately she went. And that's why the place of elderly people, say elderly women, elderly sound women in church, because sometimes in some churches you have some elderly women, they are a problem. But elderly women, sound, they are a blessing to you. And you must move close to the elderly. You must move to learn. You see some of the things Pastor Meg was saying, you can't learn it on your own. It will take an elderly woman to show you that the way you are talking, You know, when you are walking, you know, there are some of us, you walk like a tomboy. I like to be free. They need to instruct you that you are a feminine expression. Nobody is taking your liberty from you, but walk like a woman. You know, a woman is a carrier. You know, you're a carrier. Can you be walking like this and you carry womb and you're walking like this? And you say, I want to be free. I want to be free. You need to be instructed. So there's a role we have the elderly. But then, you know, one of the things she also saw, she knew how to salute, say salutation. Some of us, we don't know how to greet. Elizabeth said, when I heard the voice of your salutation, the child in my womb, their salutation and their salutation, no. He said, the child in my womb lived from joy, and when she was filled with the Holy Ghost. Some of us, we salute without a smile. May I ask her, what kind of a salutation? You don't understand. Mary came and saluted. We need to go and ask Mother Mary, that, excuse me, how do they salute? How do they greet? You know, some of us, we don't know how to. We greet shabbily. If you have not even done good salutation as a single person, how will you honor and know reference? That salutation, I believe, has to do with a lot of reference. Only God knows how she saluted Elizabeth. A salutation that can release an outpour of the Spirit. That means that there's nothing ordinary. You don't understand? Look at it now. For as soon as the voice of their salutation sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. Some of our salutation, it does not cause our pastors things to leap in their womb for joy. They just salute. You know, salutation might be greeting, might be interaction. Look at even the natural one. How do you greet? With a smile. You know, I can say some people that smile. Jesus loves you. Smile. Jesus loves you. If you want to greet with a courtesy, you greet properly. You know, if you want to greet with a hug, you don't hug like a stick. You hug with warmth and tenderness. I'm just trying to say that those are even things that, you know, our Mother Mary has done. Then you see a prayer. Say a prayer. You saw that prayer? That prayer came from somewhere. If that prayer, if she was not having communion or devotional life, she not feel pray like that. Excuse me, an angel will appear to you. You say, and guess what she said? Be it done to me. You know what I saw again? When, after Gabriel had said, he said, I am the handmaiden of the Lord. Be it done to me what? Your handmaiden estate is for things to be done to him according to his word. He said, I am the handmaiden. That is, when they say handmaid of God, we say, you know, Mommy Meg is an handmaid of God. It's because it has been done. She is available and willing for it to be done to her according to her word. So the estate of being an handmaid, that is, you are a vessel in their hand. That's handmaid, you know. He said, be it done to me what? According to your word. She knew the purpose of the single estate of a woman. That is according, as in things must be done. That is, it was a vessel in God's hand to be done. To be used for doings of God. And then she prayed. That prayer can't come from somebody who has no communion with the Lord. They can't even apply to such a person. The person will just faint. And you know, she abode with Elizabeth 3 months. You know, we have said it that if you feel you are in the estate or single, how have you served? I can't live with people. I like my space. She, you know, willingness to abide. I don't think she was abiding and sitting and drinking. Elizabeth was heavy when she came. So maybe she was even the state of Elizabeth. She didn't know Elizabeth was pregnant. Because the Bible says Elizabeth hid herself. So she got there and she saw there was need for service. And the Bible says she abode for 3 months. She did not come there and say, I just came to share my revelation. Like some of you come and visit people and then you carry your garawa. Hey, mommy, share, you're okay. Daddy, you're okay. Oh, my sister, share, you're okay. And then you have disappeared. But there's a need. Because Elizabeth got pregnant at the time when she was advanced in age. She saw that need and abode there. Only God knows what she left unattended to attend to that when she was serving. Actually, you don't understand. She was serving and yet she was in a state of, she didn't know what the future held. Because she was pregnant. She didn't know what the future was held for her. She did not offer service to Elizabeth at the time when it was convenient to her. She had her own inner turmoil. Excuse me. So a single sister, only God knows how she was in. But the Bible says she abode with Elizabeth for 3 months to serve. She could see that need and stayed with her. And she left. And when she brought forth her child, say her child. Now him she bring forth her child though. In where they keep animals. We didn't see that she murmured. Mama said seasons of marriage. That season was a season of him. She didn't murmur. She didn't murmur. This is not what I bargained for. She's not even complained that. They told me I'm carrying the savior of the world. They said there was no room for a space. The only place they found a room was in the inn. My married sisters, you must know that seasons will come. What you order might not be what you got. And it's not a time to murmur. Sometimes you might have bargained for a 5-star hotel, but you end up in the inn with animals. What do you do? Oh, you want to say, I want to live in this house, but you end up in, face me, I slap you. What do you do in that season of life? Do you murmur? And remember, this woman has a promise of God. It was in the inn. And I put here, and she had said it. He said, to be married, you go through seasons. She never thought that our firstborn we brought forth in a manger. That was not part of the plan. That was not part of what Gabriel told her. You know, and one of the things that was very consistent with her, which I noted, if you go to Luke chapter 2, was that she kept things in her heart. She kept things in her heart. Luke 2:19. Luke 2:33. Luke 2:51. She kept things in her heart. They would say she pondered. She marveled. She kept all these things. Excuse me, a woman must know how to keep things. What was she keeping? She was keeping the prophecy and the words. You say, do you know why she was keeping? She was keeping so that she could nurture it to fruition. We are custodians of God's desire. As a woman, you are a custodian to watch, to see that what God has committed to your family, to your husband, comes to pass. You watch over it. You pray about it. You see that this is what God has called you. She kept it. You see, that keeping was what I believe does also inform the way she nurtured Jesus. She kept it. She knew that this was where God. And for you, my sisters, you must know, and all of us married, that there's the eternal destiny that we have as a home. We always say that God gave you permission to marry your spouse because they are trusting you that you will be a support. They are trusting that you will help the work. You will not spoil the work. They believe that you will help. When God wants to turn a life, many times you will see a woman there. You know, women, because of the make of a woman, she ought to be helped. You shouldn't be in a place and help is bankrupt. Whether marriage or no marriage, whether work. That's why it is strange for a woman to stay in a place that is dirty. And she just doesn't have that natural instruction of how to clean and tidy. You are help. So those what she kept, the way the things are informed, the way she nurtured Jesus, the way she walked over, because she kept, because people, we must be able to keep things. But you see what Satan has done? He has taken the ability to keep things and he has made us, we keep malice, we keep bitterness, we keep offense, we keep unforgiveness, we keep gossip, we keep, you know, you see that because the womb is a storage. So she pondered on it. I noted it 3 times that she did this. And she kept it so much that when they were going to name Jesus, they named him Jesus. She could not only keep, she ensured that his name is Jesus. But Jesus, that's what Gabriel, that his name is Jesus. There's nobody bearing Jesus in the lineage. But this one, they called him Jesus. You know what she also did? She could keep culture. Say culture. She could keep statues and standards. The culture of circumcision. Even when it was painful, she could keep the standard. You know, circumcision was a standard that was ordered. She kept it. You know, circumcision is not easy. Go and ask any mother that had a boy. But she kept that culture. She kept the culture of circumcision. A woman ought to be the one that allows order to be kept. In the home, if we are going to church, we are going to meeting, don't be the reason why your husband will stop coming for meeting. Or if you are an unmarried sister in a large household, it is sisters you are always waiting for. They always come late. They are doing makeup. Brothers are ready and in the car. The culture, our service starts at 8 a.m. Culture of lateness. Keeping standards, my people, you will keep it. the culture of order, the culture of love. When she talks about atmosphere, to a large extent, a woman, a lot, you keep the culture, keeping the atmosphere of the home, many times is in your hand. You change your attitude. Try it now. Marry people. If you're angry in the house, you know everybody, there's just one tension. There's a tension wire. It's mommy, oh. Everybody walk on shelves, but when mommy is calm, you know, but you see, she could uphold standards. You know that what came to mind was like Zipporah. Zipporah could circumcise. She took a knife and circumcised her two sons. Even her age, circumcision, women of it do one. It was not babies she circumcised. Only God knows how she must have held them. I'm just trying to say, don't be deceived by this, our feminine softness. We know we should be soft. But see this softness inside in a warrior, they we can stand and actually keep things. What comes to mind again is Jael. How she could also take a hammer and eat through the head. Temple Nimokbeo. That softness. She offered milk and honey. You want some milk? You see that thing? We are there. But inside us, Satan said, no, say, let me tell you, it's me and you that don't know. Satan knows that a woman is a formidable force. Satan knows it. Satan is not deceived by our hearing and our pump cake. He knows that a built woman is a force. He knows that when a woman is raised, she's a weapon. No. Nothing will go wrong. You know, one of the things I saw, she discerned the Lord. She discerned the Lord. She discerned her son in the wedding of Cana. Only God knows what she had seen. She could discern her son. She could discern the Lord that there's a walking about this woman. She didn't allow familiarity to come into play. See, whatever he tells you to do, just do. Then there was now one thought. She discerned the Lord. She not only discerned the Lord, she believed in him. She believed to the point of even, you see, you know that Mary was a believer. She believed and believed. No, she was became a disciple. She believed until she became a disciple. She was part of those that got the baptism of the Holy Ghost. In Acts chapter 1, you see it there. She believed and followed on. Mary was a woman that could be led. You understand? Her son told her that, behold your son. And she followed John. At that moment, when Jesus said, behold, woman, your son. He said, the disciple took him to home. She could have said, excuse me. Agbalagba. You know, as older women grow up, can't correct them. But it was not so with Mary. When Jesus was in his 30s, God knows what age Mary was. But at that age, even Jesus could instruct him. She did not say, what, totin kulo, that you are dying. How can you be catering for my life after? But there she was, and immediately she followed him. She followed and followed and followed, became a disciple. Mary was filled with the Holy Ghost. Can I shock you? Mary spoke in tongues. You know what put a tenderness to my heart? What was Mary's conversation at the cross when she beheld her son? I think when I thought about this, I was literally crying. It was a son that an angel appeared to her and told her that I was going to be the savior. In clear terms, that it was a promise. But yet, right before her eyes, she followed. Oh, God knows the trauma. God knows the depth of pain. You see, sometimes when your dreams, just before your eyes, she believed, she held on, she obeyed, she released the son to the Lord. And right before your eyes, it just looks like that dream has ended. What was in her thought at the cross? Can you think about that? Some of us, we go through some situations, you feel that that's end, no God again. But when hope, it just looks like a dream, a hope. It didn't look like it was going to happen again. This was supposed to be the savior of the world. She stood by the cross. God, people, it was a journey to bring Mary to the cross. The Bible says she stood by the cross. That thing jumped out of me. It said she stood by the cross. When I saw this, I saw that, oh, this story was not only about Jesus. The Lord had Mary in mind because he brought her eventually to the cross. The Bible says she stood by the cross. And at that moment was when she realized that, oh, she had nurtured the Savior, who actually her own deliverer. You know, there's a way she could have nurtured Jesus as the Savior of the world. The Bible says, and they stood by the cross of Jesus, his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleopas, and Mary Magdalene. She stood and she beheld not her son again. She beheld her Savior. She beheld her blood. I saw that the journey of nurturing and of marrying Joseph, the journey of being from a singlehood, the journey of marrying Joseph, of having Jesus, was actually our own story that was unfolding to bring her to the cross. The journey of your singlehood, the journey of your married womb, is not only about marriage, it's about you, to bring you to the cross. That was how this Jewish woman, could come to that place where she could accept Jesus, the one she bore in her womb. Therefore, that day she knew him not after the flesh. She knew that she had only just been a tool. She had just been a tool to nurture the Savior of the world. Oh, you know what's going to happen at the end of our marriage? We realize that this marriage was just a tool to bring me to salvation. It was just an estate. Singlehood was just an estate to bring me to salvation. That day, I felt that her life made sense. All her struggle from when she was single, her loneliness, it just made sense. That out to that point was to bring her to that point, to the cross. To the cross of salvation. This is the reason for every estate the Lord has brought you and I into. This is the reason. Can we just begin to respond to the Lord?
We believe you have been enlightened through the ministry of the Word and Spirit, bringing you into a much deeper understanding of God's eternal purpose and plan. To find out more about us and our meetings, visit us at 12 Akinyosiyemi Street off Allen Road, Ikeja, Lagos. You can also contact us on our website at www.lostyouchurch.org or call us on +234 9042 850714. Remain blessed.